Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Okay, you want to make my day, huh? All right, I'll start it, you finish it. Go ahead.
All right.
What do you want me to tell London?
Thank you very much.
I can't tell him to do that. That can't do that to himself.
You're crazy.
You're absolutely crazy. You're getting as bad as Biden.
Welcome to the Savage Nation Friday edition. Thank God Eastwood, Rubio, and Mitt saved the day. After 2 days of generic eunuch talk, I was so encouraged last night. For the first time, I said, oh, thank God. Eastwood was unbelievable. He is such a consummate performer. He had the audience in the palm of his hand. It's amazing, of course, that the little men and the Lilliputians in the media are attacking him because he dared take on the anointed one. Rubio and his story, his grandfather, his father, moved me, frankly, emotionally. And even Mitch showed tremendous skills in reaching out and touching people. Now, I have to tell you something very positive on the Savage Nation about you, the audience. They are listening to you. They are listening to Michael Savage. Who was it in the media just yesterday who said, Mitt, go to Louisiana. Go to the flood. Go to the flood. Obama, get off the campaign trail. Who is it who said that? Me. Who is it who said on the show yesterday, don't talk about your Mormon ism. You don't have to do it. Remember, there were rumors that he was going to apologize, basically, for his religion. I said, don't go there. I heard from someone very high up, of course, I'll never disclose who, that they heard this. It was given to Mitt, and they listened to me. They listened to you. They know you're very important to his election. They dropped the Mormon talk, and they went right to the flood area. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I can ask you some very poignant questions, and I probably will do so shortly, but we're going to continue to play Clint Eastwood's speech, Marco Rubio's speech, and Mitt Romney's speech. They were astounding. They were just the medicine that America needed right now. So Mitt's going to the flooded area to show solidarity with the people who are underwater, while Obama suddenly at the last minute said, yeah, I'm going there too. Well, what's Obama going to do there in the flooded region? Maybe he can set up some windmills for them. Maybe he can bring in Nancy Pelosi to set up solar panels, and the people can convert the solar panels into rafts. Or maybe Obama can be investing in some algae plants while they're flooded to convert it into fuel. And then he can put motors on the solar panels so the people can basically motor away from the flood. That's about all he's good for. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Frankly, it's not just Louisiana that's underwater. It's not just regions of that area that are in a disaster area. I think that Mitt Romney ought to declare the entire nation a disaster area after what Obama's done to us. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Great day to listen to some of this talking, these talking points. They are listening to you. I was told they're listening to you. They heard you. They know you count. They know you were fed up with the generic eunuch talk, and they came out and they saved the day. It was like watching Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and take someone else and throw them in there all in one day in a World Series yesterday. Now, I never knew much about Rubio. I wasn't impressed with him. I didn't know who he was. I thought they were just using him because he was a, you know, a guy with a Hispanic name, with a story to tell. I was shocked at how good this man was. And one piece in particular is so amazing to listen to. Marco Rubio in clip 24. Listen to this carefully.
I remembered my father, who worked for many years as a banquet bartender. He was grateful for the work he had, but that's not the life he wanted for us. You see, he stood behind a bar in the back of the room all those years, so one day I could stand behind a podium in the front of a room.
Unbelievable. One unbelievable story. Astounding story. And by the way, Romney should have picked Rubio to be his VP candidate. Nothing wrong with Ryan. Ryan's a little cold. He's just a basically conservative, economic type, fiscal conservative, probably another social liberal, as the entire Republican camp is. But nevertheless, Rubio has a better story than Ryan does. Rubio, keep your eye on him. This man has a huge future ahead of him in the Republican Party. I would not say he can't be president. I would say Rubio can be president. I would say Rubio will be president one day. That's my opinion. He's fabulous. Lovely. Listen to clip 23 now.
Bartender. My mom was a cashier, a hotel maid, a stock clerk at Kmart. They never made it big. They were never rich. And yet they were successful. Because just a few decades removed from hopelessness, they made possible for us all the things that had been impossible for them.
It's beautiful. It was unbelievable. I mean, it touched me in the sense that I came from an immigrant family. I've tried to tell you that story many times, but frankly, as eloquent as I can be sometimes, I think that Rubio has better speechwriters than I do because I don't have speechwriters. This was a polished speech because it's based on reality. It was beautiful. And I was very impressed with it. But there's a negative, there's a sort of shadow to this whole good story. And the shadow is this, and I guess, again, I have to be honest with you. Clint Eastwood was so damn good, I wound up laughing and cheering and saying, thank God he came out and saved them. He did save them. Turned it around. And yet today, Ann Romney goes and basically stabs him in the back. Now, I got to say something right now. She's taking too prominent a role. She's having a little too good a time. She's like the girl at the wedding who won't get off the platform and she keeps dancing. She's not running for office. Mitt Romney is running for office. If I have any advice to give the Republicans, it's Ann, take two steps back. You're not running for office. Moreover, I don't like her undermining everything that was gained yesterday. She goes on to the Communist Broadcasting Service, CBS, and they start putting her on the spot, and she basically slaps Eastwood around like he was not really good for them. This is unbelievable to me. Listen to clip 44.
Do you wish that video had aired in primetime instead of Clint Eastwood's monologue?
You know, I think it's important that people do see that side of Mitt. We appreciated Clint's support, of course, but it's so hard to really get...
All right, it's enough already. Enough already. The laughter I don't like. I've had that all my life. Oh, he's a wild, crazy guy. Oh, he's unique. No, ma'am. He's a giant. He's a genius. He's an American icon. Nobody knows you, Ann. He did you a favor. He bailed you out. And you got to stop slapping him around. He's the best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party. And I resent it for one. And frankly, I'm going to ask you, the listener, on the Savage Nation, because apparently the Romney team has someone listening to this show. They're desperate for every vote. They finally found out that in addition to the felons and the illegal aliens, there is a core conservative base of about 10 million people listening to the Savage Nation. And they know that you weren't too happy with the eunuchs that we heard on Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, we're happy today with Eastwood, Rubio, and Mitt. But here's the question. Do you think Ann Romney should step back two paces from this campaign and get off the front of the stage? I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so again, if you just tuned in, I'm thrilled that Eastwood, Rubio, and Romney himself saved the day. That's the positive news, and we're going to play pieces of their speeches all day today, so you finally understand what a great team Romney and Ryan will make. But the issue that's troubling me is Ann Romney. I don't like the prominence that she is taking. She is enjoying herself a little too much. She thinks she's running for office. She is not doing him a service, as far as I am concerned, by playing such a prominent role. And frankly, I like to hear from women, women only. Do you think Ann Romney is playing too prominent a role and that she ought to step back a few steps and let her husband shine? She seems to be competing with him. She seems to compete with him everywhere and in every way. She seems to be on every show and as though she's running for office. I mean, when I go to vote, is it going to say Barack and Michelle Obama versus Mitt and Ann Romney? No, it's going to say Barack Obama D, Mitt Romney R. I'm sick of this. I don't like it. Something's wrong. And I love women. I think women are great, but she's not running for office. I'd like to know why she's basically giving Clint Eastwood a little offhand jape here. Listen to clip 46, how she's set up by the Communist Broadcast Service host.
You seem to be surprised by Clint Eastwood's performance as the camera took a cutaway of you.
I didn't know it was coming. Again, I can tell you we're grateful for everyone's support. And
all right, that does it for me. The country club woman. You know, I've been around women like that all my life. I don't like them, to be frank with you. If I don't like them, you could just imagine what poor people are feeling. You know, Miss Perfect. Like he's some weirdo. Clint Eastwood, an American icon, a world icon. Ann Romney, no one will ever remember. And then instead of saying we're grateful for Clint's support, she adds another stab in the back. We're grateful for everyone's support. In other words, he wasn't even there. Because the communist liberals didn't like him. So already she's in their camp. No good. No good. Sorry. I have the most attuned ear in the history of the American media. And I am telling you, somebody who's listening to me in the Eastwood campaign, in the Romney campaign, you've listened to me. You told Mitt not to apologize for his Mormonism. He didn't. He took it out of his speech last night. I said, send him to Louisiana. You sent him to Louisiana. I'm telling you to talk to Ann and tell her, wonderful woman, just take a deep breath in and step back 2 paces. Let your husband shine. Stop competing with him for the spotlight. Am I wrong or right? That's what I want to know. Sacramento, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, just a quick note that when I heard Mitt talk about Neil Armstrong last night, that's all I could think about was you and the things that you said the days before. They're listening. Keep it up.
Yes, they are listening. I heard several things that I know from higher-ups were entered into that little shindig last night directly from this show. They understand that you represent millions of voters. If they're looking to shake the tree for every last voter, they can only disrespect you for so long. So, but the issue now is, what advice do we give him about Mrs. Romney without getting him angry? I mean, a guy like him, who's had a co-partner his whole life, maybe he'll take offense at it. But I am telling you, well, no, let me put it this way. You tell me, you tell America. Women, what do you think? Okay, what do you think? Chris in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Well, Mike, I think she's trying to micromanage her husband, and she should stay out of it. He's a smart man. Let him do his vision and go forward. Now, what Clint Eastwood did last night, an 82-year-old man, this guy was fabulous. He's an American hero.
Could you believe how the guy's timing and the jokes when he looked at the empty chair? That was one of the greatest pieces of performance art I've ever seen on a national stage.
Off the top of his head.
Well, I don't know it was off the top of his head. It was pretty well done. Somebody worked it out with him in advance. The guy's a genius. He didn't get where he is as a director and as an actor, coming from nothing, working his way up from spaghetti westerns to where he is today because he doesn't have a sense of a theater. This was the greatest theater I've ever seen. And for Ann Romney to go, I'm sorry, it really turned me off. That's how I feel about it. But the empty chair, if you've not seen it, look for it somewhere on the web. I think we have it on michaelsavage.com, the whole Clint Eastwood shtick. He comes out, does the thing, and he has an empty chair, makes believe Obama's in it. And he looks at the chair and talks to him. And then he says to him, what do you want me to do? I'm sorry, he said, I can't do that to myself. I mean, was that one of the funniest shticks you've ever seen? Do we have that piece? Play Clint. Yeah, play that one.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him to do that. I can't do that to himself.
You're crazy.
You see, he can't do that to himself. Everyone got it. This is so incredibly classy that a man can make an off-color joke without using one off-color word. Now, compare that to the Paleolithic Chris Rock. Compare that to the Neolithic throwbacks that curse, fume, make fools of themselves, make a disgrace of the White House. In other words, Obama's crowd. Compare the lowlifes in Obama's camp who don't have the intellect to even make such a joke without using filthy, dirty, disgusting gutter words. Get it? That's the difference. You have a choice between the gutter and the sky. It's that simple. Arizona, Becca, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, I think Miss Ann should step back. It'd be like me going to a job interview with my husband and interfering while he's trying to get a job. It's just something.
Well, here's the thing. They're trying to get the women voters. I understand that. But one thing I know about women is that women are a little skittish of other women who are a little too dominant. Am I right about that?
You're definitely correct about that.
Okay, and they don't like dominant, pushy women who think that they're the queen of the May. And I think she's starting to look too much like a sorority queen for the average American woman who may be schlepping to Kmart.
I always call it the little prissy syndrome.
And the little, really, the little what?
Prissy syndrome.
I don't know. It's too much Ann Romney, and I don't like her giving Clint Eastwood short shrift the next day when Clint Eastwood saved the entire convention. She should have said, "We loved Clint. You're wrong. He's a great guy. We're so glad that he did it." What is she saying? We're grateful for everyone's support. See, I've had that done to me all my life by the sorority and fraternity type of people. I don't appreciate it. See, I'm a unique guy. I'm a unique guy, too. I don't like people marginalizing me in their own mind because they're afraid to acknowledge somebody, you know what I mean, who's a little different than the button-down types. Anyway, I want to stay positive here. I don't know why she undermined Clint. Ann in New York, WOR, what do you think about Ann Romney's dominant role? Should she step back two paces?
Yes, she should, and I really agree this time. I think that she is missing a greater point that is very important that Clint Eastwood managed to convey, which is that all of Hollywood is not just the Brad Pitts and the Clooneys, that there's a lot of people that feel like us, but God forbid that you should reveal any inclinations of conservatism. You may not get that next sitcom. You may not get that next
movie. I understand all of that, but what do you think about Ann Romney's position in being so prominent?
I believe that it is time for her to step back just a bit. I mean, it was enough. They showed her warmth. We are aware of her trials and tribulations and all of that. But this time, you're absolutely...
Yeah, and now
correct.
It's time already not with the family story anymore. Now let's talk about policy that Mitt's going to introduce. I don't want to hear any more about their family story. We've heard it already. You know, the next we hear, they were living in a trailer. Somehow we didn't know about it in Mexico. Remember when Al Gore had the nerve while he was running to say that him and the photographer that he was married to at the time before he got the massages were living in a trailer? They actually showed film clips of Al and his ex-wife living in a trailer as if he was poor. It was unbelievable to me. Everyone wants to be poor. I have no idea why. I never wanted to be poor. My whole life I dreamed of being rich. Why does anyone want to be poor? Why does everyone think it's a badge of honor to be poor? I don't know anybody who's poor who wants to be poor. Do you know anyone who's poor who's proud of being poor? Now, let me explain something to you. Being poor is not a crime, but nobody wants to be poor. Everybody wants to be rich. They envy the rich. They hate the rich, but they want to be the rich. So if you're rich, say, all right, I was born with money, but it, you know, at least it gives me the opportunity to understand how to help people because I'm not in it for the money. There's a funny thing I got to tell you about. When Governor Rockefeller ran in New York, I was a young teacher. I had nothing. I like Rockefeller. You know what I used to say to people? I say, well, at least he's so wealthy that he's not in it to steal money. At least that's how I thought about it then. I don't know if that's still true. I think it is. And you know, Romney's an honest guy. You know he's never going to rob any money. You know there's going to be no solar panels in the Nevada desert with Harry Reid. You know he's not giving $900 million to what senator's brother-in-law. You know that's not happening under Romney. The guy's as clean as they come.
Savage.
We own this country.
Lower your microphone.
Yes, we own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours.
See, this was what we needed to hear all week. And when I watched it, I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what he was going to do. And here's a guy, 82 years old, a little slower than he was than in the Dirty Harry days, but still as eloquent and as, I don't know, as poignant, as moving. I don't know how to put it. Actually, in some ways, even more so. Because here is a man of that age who has the guts to come out from L.A. and stand up for somebody when he knows that it's going to affect his business. Let's be very clear. No matter what he said about Hollywood, you know it's going to affect him. If you don't think Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg are going to not try to punish him, you're mistaken. But the fact is, he's beyond caring. Okay? So here's one of America's, an icon. I don't care what movie he's ever been in, I could watch it three times, right? And then today we wake up, and all of a sudden the vermin rats in the media saying he didn't do a good job, it was bizarre speech. Bull! What do you mean bizarre? What was bizarre? Because he told the truth about the empty chair and the empty suit? No, it wasn't bizarre. And then to top it off, Ann Romney goes on CBS, Communist Broadcast Service, and basically, does the sorority gal thing on him. And he's a unique man. We appreciate all the support we get. I didn't like it. It's time for Ann Romney to take two steps back, let her husband shine. Okay, this is no longer the country club where they walk in together. The man's running for office. The man is running for office. I know what I'm talking about. I have the best stethoscope in the entire country. There's nobody better in the media for reading the American heartbeat. Nobody. Tell me if I'm wrong. That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know what you think. Pittsburgh, PA. Joan, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
I agree with you. I think Ann Romney ought to stay out of it. I don't think she always has the best judgment. Her first choice, and she pushed very, very hard for Condoleezza Rice, a rhino, to be vice president. And thank God he turned it down, but that was her first choice.
Yes, you're right. No, she's absolutely sorority pink. There's no question about it. She is 99.100% pure rhino.
I know, and that would have been disastrous, but that was her first choice, and they said she was really pushing her husband very, very hard. But
here's the issue now. Without attacking her, she's a wonderful woman, a great mother, terrific supporter, but she's not running for office. Is she helping or hurting with the women vote is all I want to know from women. What do you think?
She's hurting, definitely.
Why? Because she's too dominant?
Yeah, she's too domineering, and I don't think that's good. It makes him look weak.
That's what I've been saying. I've been saying this for months now. It makes him look wimpy. He's not a wimpy man. In fact, when he got up there, I was sitting there, I was eating dinner, takeout Japanese food. I was praying he wasn't going to wimp out on me, and he didn't. He didn't. He got there. Did you think Mitt did a good speech?
Yes, wonderful speech. I really did, and I love Clint Eastwood. I hate to say this, but he did make my day and night.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to make your day, too. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, my latest best-selling book. I'm going to make your day as well. This is very important, today's show. I'm going to tell you something that you have to hear. I'm very tired from this entire campaign. I have all of next week to deal with the rat communists. You can't believe the outcasts that they're bringing to the stage at the Democrat National Committee. One anti-American outcast after another is going to give a speech against the country and try to paint themselves as a patriot. So I can't wait for that. But I'm a little tired. We got the long Labor Day weekend. I was going to take off today, but I couldn't, and I'll tell you why. As you know, I try to level with you as best I can on a public show. I've been very harsh for the last few days about the eunuchs that were appearing on the stage Tuesday or Wednesday. I was going berserk. I couldn't take another minute of the eunuchs that they were showing. I couldn't stand it. For 2 days straight, I was screaming they're destroying themselves. Well, finally, yesterday, I see the positive turnaround. I see Eastwood, Rubio, unbelievable. Then Romney, thank God, comes out like a president, and he gives me hope that he can win. And do something, by the way, when he wins. You know, the most so therefore, I said I have to come in today, Friday. I have to play the positive tapes. But there's a slight, cloud over it. The cloud is we wake up euphoric, and there's Ann Romney taking back the deal. She's like a woman who goes in after you close the deal and takes it back. It's known in sales parlance as taking the deal back. I don't know if you know anything about sales. The people who are professionals know what I'm talking about. I've learned the hard way in my life, which is once you make a deal, don't go back and start talking about it again before the deal is signed. Don't go back and start saying what a great deal, and then undermine it a little bit. That's called taking the deal back. If you have a deal with someone, don't start reselling it. Well, she didn't only not resell it. She basically, dismissed Eastwood like a clown, like he's some balloon man they got. Oh, yeah, he's a real entertainer. What a character he is. I've heard that about me all my life. Yeah, I'm a real character. I resent it. And so, therefore, maybe I'm personalizing what she said. Eastwood's certainly bigger than me. He probably wouldn't take it that way. But I'm a hot-headed guy, and I resent people who like to undermine those of us who are entertaining, unique, brilliant, incisive, whatever you want to call us. Okay, we didn't get here by accident. Don't dismiss us. We never wanted to be a country club stooge. Okay, the normal pads don't appeal to us. Let's put it to you that way. We weird people really resent the normal pads. And, you know, there's only so much normal pathology that I can personally take from anybody. A new word, you probably haven't heard it from Sean Hannity. He didn't learn it while he was busy putting up nail board. Virginia, Craig, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Agree with you wholeheartedly about Ann Romney. Excellent points, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, without bashing her, maybe she'll get the message to stop dancing in front of the camera. That's all. That's all we're saying. Ann, we love you. You'll make a nice first lady. We're not telling you to stay home and make pies, but you're not running for office. Your husband is running for office. Hasn't no one told her that? You know, it makes them look wimpy. I mean, you know, their story's nice. The children, I love the pictures of the children. And then at the end, didn't you love all the grandchildren with the blonde hair running out with the balloons? Unbelievable. You could go into maybe there's too many blondes, but what are you going to do, take away their gene pool? They're beautiful people. Every kid had like a towhead. I couldn't believe it. How do they get such incredible reproductions? It's like amazing. Like a Xerox machine was running on the stage. Like a genetic Xerox machine. Now, the kids were gorgeous with the balloons and the... I mean, I wish that I had a family as big as that. I truthfully do. It's beautiful. And I'm happy with my family. I'm just saying, I wish I had like 65,000 grandchildren running around with balloons on a stage. Does anyone remember that movie? I'm going to drift off for a minute. It's Friday. Give me a break for 1 minute so I don't have to do any Republican talk for one more minute. I keep making this point to friends because I'm alone every night with a TV tray and my dog watching television. It's actually the way I want it. I don't have energy after a show to talk to a soul. I don't. But nevertheless, I miss the rich immigrant family life I had when I was a kid. My father was an immigrant. I don't want to do a Rubio on you. My father was an immigrant. My uncles were immigrants. One of them was. And they all were either first generation or immigrants. We all lived near each other in Queens, New York. We all had about the same size attached house at that point that I remember. Nobody was more or less richer or poorer than the other one within a certain, you know, generic distance of income. And so we were in the same socioeconomic class. They all drove about the same quality car. You know what I'm saying? All of us children of my generation who went to college went to Queens College, meaning a municipal college, because they couldn't afford a private college. That's the way it was. So I remember the holidays, how amazing everybody would come over to my mother's house. I took it for granted. Little did I know that later on in life there would be no such parties for me, because everyone's living somewhere else in this country. Everyone's somewhere, you know. The only people who experience that anymore, as I can tell, are the new immigrants. You know, maybe Hispanic families are that close. But I don't see it anymore around me. And it's a big loss. It's an emptiness. But the thing is, what was that movie I'm trying to get at, where it starts out with that rich family in Baltimore, and it ends up with a bitter man sitting in front of a television set with a TV tray? He doesn't even have a poodle. What was that movie? I don't even remember the director. Pretty famous guy, famous movie. Remember? Is there anyone out there who can find that answer? You'll get a free copy of the book. No? Whatever. Anyway, 1-800-449-8255. I just said it to one of my relatives. I actually called a cousin of mine in Rhode Island yesterday. I haven't seen him for 2 years. He was like a neighbor of mine. We grew up like brothers, especially after I lost my brother because he was younger. I adopted him as a younger brother. I loved him very much. But, okay, he lives there. I never see him. I had a talk to a relative yesterday. It's Labor Day weekend. No one's around. The whole family's somewhere else on a ship. I'm with the dog. Now, truthfully, I'm lucky enough to have some friends out here that I like. I don't see that often. So I'm taking about 8 friends out on my boat Sunday. I decided I'll put it together. You know, I'm going to do a little thing, drop anchor off a certain cove I know in the San Francisco Bay that my character, Jack Hatfield, in Abuse of Power, knows very well. In fact, my friends are not going to believe I'm going to give them a narrated tour of my novel as we go by some of the scenes from my novel, Abuse of Power. So I'm looking forward to that, but it's not family. They're nice people, but, you know, we're not blood. I mean, blood is blood. And they're all in the ground. Basically, they're all in the ground or they're living somewhere else. That's all. Who's the movie? Anyone got the movie? Did they call in yet? Not one caller knows the movie set in Baltimore. Starts with the big fan. Huh? Avalon. Bingo. Who called in with that? You? You got it? Then I'm sending you a copy of the book. You have a case of it already. No, Avalon. Who was the director? Does anyone remember Barry something? Barry whatever. He did Diner, right? He did Diner. Barry, whatever. Anyway, Avalon. Everyone's together arguing family council meetings to decide what to do. And as the years go on, they get a little more money. They all separate from each other. And in the end, they're all alone sitting in front of a television set in a dark room with a TV tray. Boy, did he ever catch the entire, you know, zeitgeist of this country. But it's the way of the world. It's the way of all flesh. So here we are. Eastwood was amazing. Rubio's story touched me. I had no idea he was that good. I underestimated him, I'll be frank with you. And the best piece he did was the bartender in the banquet bartender in the back of the room. I got to play it again. Play 24. This was so moving of Rubio. Listen to this.
I remembered my father, who worked for many years as a banquet bartender. He was grateful for the work he had, but that's not the life he wanted for us. You see, he stood behind a bar in the back of the room all those years, so one day I could stand behind a podium in the front of a room.
Very beautiful, very touching, and I could relate to it. And if I could relate to it, I mean millions of people related to Rubio. I don't know how many people heard him because the media is so viciously anti-Republican. It's shocking. Just shocking. But I know the Romney team is listening. I heard it from a higher up. I got to tell you again, you count. They're not dismissing you. You got to vote for the guy. After 2 days of generic eunuchs, which I screamed about on this show, they heard me. And they didn't talk about... remember Romney was allegedly going to talk about his Mormonism and apologize for it? Remember? And I said, don't do it. You don't have to talk about your religion. Let Obama apologize for his Muslim background if you want to talk about religion. Don't go there. You don't have to do it. He didn't do it. And then I said, Mr. Romney, go to Louisiana right after the convention. Obama's on the road. Remember, I said it yesterday on this show. And what happened today? Romney's in the flooded area, and the anointed one has come off his magic carpet. He's going to go now down there to be there as well. They're listening to you. I'm telling you. Lisa, Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think the Romney team is definitely listening to you. And yesterday on your show when you were saying how Hollywood should be left out of the politics and how Hollywood, and you were bashing Hollywood. And so in her interview, she downplayed Clint Peterson. They had no idea that you would have, you loved the speech, but at least they got Rubio right.
You mean when she put down Clint Eastwood, right?
She was going along with you, say, you know, kind of playing him down, so.
Well, so she was trying to say Hollywood doesn't count. You think that's why she said it? Like, oh, they're just meaningless entertainers. Well, that's an example of her elitism, and it's not good. I'm sorry. You know, one thing the show specializes in is kind of the naked truth, and it sometimes shocks people when I say things that they know are true, and they say, oh my God, what did he just say? Her elitism? Yeah, looking down on Clint Eastwood is a false elitism. He is a giant. The world will remember Clint Eastwood for a very long time. They may not remember a first lady ever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All
I know you were against the war in Iraq, and that's okay. But you thought the war in Afghanistan was okay. You know, I mean, you thought that was something that was worth doing. We didn't check with the Russians to see how they did there for the 10 years. But we did it.
That's the great Clint Eastwood last night talking to an empty chair. And we're reading that Eastwood surprised the rigid stick-up-there-behind Republicans with the improvisational act that he did. And apparently they were twisted out of shape, some of them, because he didn't look like the gobbler. He didn't sound like Mr. McConnell the gobbler or any of the other eunuchs. Stuart Stevens, the campaign's top strategist, at least now we know the name of the guy, says it was an improv. We were caught off guard. But it said that Mitt Romney was amused. I was backstage with him, and he was laughing, Mr. Stevens said. Oh, they were amused by Clint Eastwood, were they? He saved your behinds, idiots. Don't be so amused by him. He saved your behinds from the eunuchs you had on Tuesday and Wednesday. Amused. It's astounding to me. See, again, I don't want to get negative. I got to stay positive. He was the best thing that ever happened to them. And, of course, the media went crazy attacking him because he stepped out from behind the communist wall, you know, where they used to call it the Iron Curtain. Let me give it a new name for Hollywood. I'll make one up now that can be stolen before it leaves my breath. He dared step out from behind Katzenberg's velvet curtain. The velvet curtain of Hollywood that you're not allowed to step out from behind, controlled by Katzenberg. Well, he stepped out. God bless him. And for Ann Romney to give him an offhanded jape, frankly, was not a good thing. And she's not looking good, and she's got to step back, and she's got to take a less prominent role, and she's starting to look like she's upstaging her husband. And I'm telling you, it's all wrong. Montana, Adam, what do you think? Welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I listen every day after work, and my family listens to you. And
thank you.
You keep me on my toes all the time, on my heels. You know, I think you're getting ready to pan somebody and say they were terrible, and you're like, yeah, these guys were great. And then when I think they were great, you pan them, and, you know, you just keep me on my toes all the time.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. That's the object of talk radio, is that it makes people think. The day we're no longer able to make you think is the day you'll start listening to something else, I guess. Thank you for the compliments and for the call. You're welcome to join the Open Mic to Mike Friday on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go across the country to New York City. Rudy in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Thank you for bringing that clip of Ann Romney. She's got to take a step back. Her political naivete will be she'll be eaten alive by these left-wing extremist communists. And all her words will be used against her and her husband, and she's just going to be a destructive force at this point.
I don't know why she's going on CBS the next day after this winning, stellar, galactic performance by Eastwood, Rubio, and Romney. What is she doing the next morning like it was her show? What is she doing on CBS? What has she got to add to the puzzle at that point?
It harkens to 20 years ago when Clinton won, and it suddenly went from Bill and Hillary Clinton to Bill and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Like, what was that all about? But that's going back 20 years.
Remember when Hillary, her star was rising, we kept hearing that Bill kept stepping in the way. He couldn't stay away. He was undermining her. Remember that for the last few years? He kept coming back. There's always competition between alpha male and alpha female inside the home. That's good. Two alpha people are always competing for the same niche. They're fighting for dominance. It's well known. But when you get in front of the country, we don't want to see mommy and daddy having a little war over who's on top. You know what I'm saying?
It's bad, and thank you so much for bringing that clip to us tonight, to me tonight.
Well, you're getting a free copy. I'm sorry, I hit the button already because I'm almost out of time. I'm sorry, but thank you. When we come back, more Eastwood, more Rubio, more Mitt Romney, and we're going to talk about it. They're listening to you. They need your vote. Don't worry about it. They don't consider you the little friends that they don't need. They need you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Okay, you ought to make my day. All right, I'll start it, you finish it. Go ahead. All right, thank you.
Yeah, we're all enjoying the afterglow of one of the greatest nights after 2 days of meaningless eunuch talk. I was thankful that Eastwood came out there and did such an incredible improv, brought the house down, had him in the palm of his hand. The people loved him, loved him. Then Rubio was astounding. I had no idea he was that good. And then Romney surprised me with his ability to emote. He did. He actually said some things that were amazing. I think he can do some positive things for this country after this regime is finally sent back to wherever they came from, and I'm hoping that they stay on this course. There is only one cloud on the horizon, and I had to mention it since this show is based upon psychological nudity, and that is Ann Romney is taking too prominent a role, in my opinion. She's too center stage. She's upstaging her husband. She's too many places and too many times, and frankly, she didn't do herself or her husband a favor by going on CBS, Communist Broadcast Service, this morning, and basically slapping Eastwood around, saying that he's just some, you know, unique, like an what don't you think, he's a jester? Eastwood's just a jester, and she's something special? Ann Romney right now is nothing, incidentally. She's a candidate's wife. I'm sorry, I know you don't want to hear it. You want me to put her on a pedestal, I won't do it. I put nobody on a pedestal. I'm not on a pedestal. I've taken my blows, believe me. And so I feel I've got the ability, number one, and I think I have the obligation to tell you what I think. Otherwise, what's the point of you listening to me? What, do you want me to be one of the shills for the Republican Party? And great, right? I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. It's not in my DNA at this point. I'm not knocking the woman. She's good, nice, stay away already. We got it. We got the family story. We got the sorority talk. We got the country club etiquette already. Stop already. So then she goes on CBS this morning and agrees with one of the undermining nobodies. Well, did you hear this or not? Listen to clip 46. I don't know why it's 46, but go ahead, play it.
You seem to be surprised by Clint Eastwood's performance as the camera took a cutaway of you.
I didn't know it was coming. Again, I can tell you we're grateful for everyone's support, and especially grateful for
see, there it is. Everyone's support. She gets one of the greatest stars in history who comes all the way across the country to pitch for a husband. Everyone's support? You mean he's equal to the stooges in the gutter? The stooges who hands you shake as you shake your magic wand? See, this is bad. This is giving away a part of Ann Romney that we don't want to see. This arrogance and elitism. I know you don't want to hear it. Again, you don't want to hear it. You only want to hear everything positive. Well, I don't come from the school of everything's positive. The world has positive in it and negative in it. And everything has a little bit of both in it, incidentally. So if you and don't expect me to give you just the positive. Eastwood's the greatest thing that ever happened to them. He saved the day. The improvisation with the empty stool is unbelievable. It will live forever in the annals of campaigns, especially after 2 days of the eunuchs, especially after the gobbler's repeated speeches, one gobbler after another. And then we see this guy come out there, 82 years old, and look what he did. And he did it so in such a classy way. I mean, he made a sort of off-color joke without one dirty word. Compare him to the gutter rats like Chris Rock. Compare him to the slime that's going to appear for Obama at the White House that he's had there. The vermin who have to use the most dirty language on earth to get a reaction. So Eastwood did it without having to do that. It was amazing. I was shocked. And Rubio, I have to say again, fantastic. Didn't know he had that story and how he could deliver it. He should have been chosen as the VP, incidentally. And Rubio, in my opinion, will be president of the United States one day. I thought he was just sort of a manufactured guy who had a Hispanic name and they were using him. He's far better than they think. I think that the party operatives don't even know how good this guy is. And he's got a long future ahead of him. And frankly, it would have been better if it was a Romney-Rubio ticket. They would have gotten a lot more of the Republican-Hispanic vote, and some of the Democrat-Hispanics would have crossed the line for ethnic reasons. It's the way ethnic people are. They vote for their own race. I know you don't want to know it, but that's the way it's always been true. Look at New York politics. I grew up in New York. The Italians voted for the Italians. The Jews voted for the Jews. The Irish voted for the Irish. Go down the list. Look at the history of New York. It was always that way. And it's no different today. So now you've got a huge Hispanic population, legal and illegal, and they're going to vote for a Hispanic name if it's there. It's the way it is. It's just the way it is. Look at Barack Obama. Why does he continue to get 90-some-odd percent of the African-American vote? Why? What, is he so good to the people that, no. It's just the way it is. It's the politics of the DNA. That's what it is. So if you care to talk about these topics, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Everyone who gets on the show gets a free copy of the greatest book of the election season, Trickle Down Tyranny, available in bookstores and on Amazon right now. Let's go to the callers around America. Who wants to talk about what? Huh? Who do we want? Leslie in Connecticut, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I also agree 100%. I think Clint Eastwood was brilliant. I really thought the empty chair was very symbolic. It was a metaphor of what we've had for a president.
Unbelievable.
For the past 4 years is an empty suit.
Right.
And I thought that was just great how he did that. And he did it so eloquently, and he did it without a teleprompter. He also showed...
I'm going to interject here, and I will tell you, the more I think about it, it was Chaplin-esque. It was that good, especially for a man of his age. This was a Chaplin-esque moment in American political history. And I'm one of the few people who can see things as they occur for what they are historically. It's going to take some time for people to realize how great it was. But for Ann Romney to not get it is a little worrisome for me. What do you think about Ann? Should she take a few steps back?
Well, I did not hear her on CBS, and I'm disappointed. The first time I heard of this was when you mentioned it on your show. So, yes, I am not happy that she did that. I think she overstepped her bounds. And
let's put aside CBS, where she dissed Clint Eastwood and wouldn't give him credit where credit was due. Do you think she's playing too prominent a role?
Well, I do think there is a certain amount of voters that need that type of coaxing to bring them on board. So I do think she has a role. I don't necessarily need that. And when I hear them, you know, constantly saying, oh, they don't have the woman's vote, they don't have the woman's vote, I'm thinking, who the hell are they talking about? They have my vote. And
I would think any woman who works for a living is voting for Romney.
Absolutely.
Let's put it to you this way. Any woman who signs the checks on the front votes for Romney. Any woman who signs the check on the back votes for Obama.
Absolutely. And I think Clint Eastwood was brilliant. Rubio was absolutely brilliant. I totally
Right?
Agree.
Wasn't Rubio incredible? Did you know Rubio was that moving?
No. I heard him a few times, and I thought he was a very, very good speaker. But I never really knew his background, and when he talked about his father being a bartender,
I was astounded about that. I was shocked by it. It was so great.
It was.
Well, Leslie in Connecticut, I'm sending you a Trickle Down Tyranny, my hardcover bestseller. I think I have to play the bartender piece again. For those of you who missed it, Rubio is going to be president one day, and I'm going to play some of his other clips. Well, let's start with this. Guys, let us start with 11. And then go to the one with the bartender, whatever that was. Go ahead.
I watched my first convention in 1980 with my grandfather. As a boy, I used to sit on the porch of our house and listen to his stories about history and politics and baseball as he would puff on one of his three daily Padron cigars. And I remembered my father, who worked for many years as a banquet bartender. He was grateful for the work he had, but that's not the life he wanted for us. You see, he stood behind a bar in the back of the room all those years, so one day I could stand behind a podium in the front of a room.
Unbelievable. Well, I mean, you know, he touched me because I feel the same way about my father. I mean, my father worked basically in the, I think, pretty much in a dismal little store so that one day I could stand in front of the microphone. So I can identify with that. He never thought I could do it. He thought I would amount to nothing. That was his idea of child rearing, telling me I would amount to nothing. But okay, that's the school he came from. You know, Padre Padrone is the world I came from, which is you'll never amount to anything, you know, good. Don't think negativity doesn't work with children. Don't assume it has to be positive. Some children go bad when you tell them they're good. You know, you want to talk about child rearing. We're all into positive reinforcement. That's how I raised my children. It worked out positive. I tried never to be negative. But the truth is, you could be negative and it could have worked too. Sometimes maybe a kid needs a kick in the behind. You know, sometimes I watch a Little League game as I'm going by. You see the kid miss the ball. The bat flies out of his hand. He looks like a Schmendrick in the fall. Oh, good job. Good job, Johnny. Don't worry that the bat flew into the other guy's face. Good job. What do you mean, good job? Tell him the kid's an idiot. That he's not supposed to, the bat's not supposed to fly out of his hand. Take him home crying, maybe. You know, I don't understand everything positive in America. It's a whole new theory. It doesn't necessarily work, by the way. Positive reinforcement has its limits. Let's put it to you that way. There's a time and a place for it. There's a time for negative reinforcement. Meaning you're an idiot, you know? You're never going to amount to anything. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that's what motivated me. Maybe the goading worked. Anyway, it's not about me. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I tend to over-identify with everything. I personalize everything. If someone passes me on the road, it's against me. If someone flashes the lights at me, it's against me personally. If you know what I'm saying? If the water doesn't come fast enough in the restaurant, it's against me So when Ann Romney says, we appreciate everyone's support, it's against me personally. It would be as if I got up there and supported Romney, and then the next day she goes on CBS, oh, we appreciate everyone's support. In other words, Clint Eastwood's the same as a guy in the gutter, huh? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hope and change had a powerful appeal. But tonight, I'd ask a simple question. If you felt that excitement when you voted for Barack Obama, shouldn't you feel that way now that he's President Obama?
Now, you know, hold on right here. Yeah, that was a mistake, incidentally. I didn't quite get it. Whoever wrote that, it's like he's saying, do we still have hope and change? What was he getting at? Not good. Go to the next one.
Is it any wonder that someone who attacks success has led the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression? In America, we celebrate success. We don't apologize for success.
See, okay, he got emotional, and just the punchline is good. So he was good, and I thought that he did a very good job. Of course, Eastwood was the star, and he saved the day. I'd like to hear what you have to say about these issues, especially that they dissed him the next day. Mary in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Hi, I believe that the Ann Romney to step back is correct, but the real advice for her might be to avoid TV appearances altogether, especially anything with interviews with women like The View or anything, because they're going to see her, they might see her right now as the weaker of the two, and they'll go after her because they know they can't go after him right now.
Oh, so because they're such a vicious piranha. That she'll step in there thinking they're going to treat her well, but they're undermining her every step of the way.
Oh, yeah. If you think most women are supportive of other women, you're wrong.
No, I'm the only one in the media with the guts to say what I know about women. Women don't particularly get along with other women, and they don't like powerful women to begin with. So she's got to back it off a little bit. She's not running for office. Do you agree with me?
I agree with you, but they're also going to take advantage of her because I see in her a really nice person who doesn't want to make waves, and they're going to grab on that.
You know, she's starting to look a little bit naive, almost like a Meghan McCain who wants to please the liberals, and she'll say anything when she's there next to them to placate them. That's what I don't like. It's not a good thing for her to be doing that. She's not winning friends and influence people. She's not gaining voters by doing that. So, again, I think we've touched on it enough. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. Thanks for the call. Guys, do we have any Rock and Roll Friday? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. All right, it's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. We're talking about the great performance last night by Clint Eastwood, Marco Rubio, and then Romney himself. And it was a great night. Eastwood's performance was so Chaplin-esque that it will be remembered in the annals of political conventions as probably one of the greatest performances of all time. How's that? I don't need a degree in history. I don't need to study political history to tell you what happened last night will make history. Forget the Lilliputians in the media who are undermining him. They're jealous. They're angry that he dared say one word negative about the empty chair. Because the empty chair said it all. We've had an empty chair for the last 3.5 years. We've had an empty chair with a mechanical pencil. We've had an empty chair with a mechanical pen that signs checks and contracts to his cronies. Basically, that's the metaphor that I saw. Okay, what would you like to say? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO. Sean, thank you for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, let's talk about Marco Rubio. This guy is hands down presidential material.
Totally.
2016, this guy made Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, everybody else who was...
I agree. I was so impressed with Rubio. I thought he was kind of an empty guy with a Hispanic name. I never saw the man as I did last night. He's going to be president one day. You agree with me?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, I saw that. I'm going to go out of my way to try and tell him that if I should run into him somewhere at the candy store. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny going out to Boston. I'll be right back for your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind.
I just thought, this is great. I mean, everybody's crying. Oprah was crying. And I was even crying. I haven't cried that hard since I found out that there's 23 million unemployed people in this country. It's important that you realize that you're the best in the world. And whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, you're the best. And we should not ever forget that. And when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
Oh, boy. This guy was amazing. He's the best thing that ever happened to the eunuchs who destroyed him. I mean, you know the ratings are in the toilet. You know, I was railing against them for Tuesday and Wednesday on this show. Many of you didn't understand what I was trying to do. Remember I told you I was raised by a father in a tough way, who when I did something wrong, he told me I did something wrong. He didn't say, good job, Johnny, when the bat flew out of my hand. First of all, he never played ball with me. He was busy working 7 days a week. He was like Rubio's bartender father. He didn't have time to teach me how to play ball. He worked 7 days a week and died of a heart attack when he was young. So the point is, you know, if the Republicans are doing a bad job, I'm not going to say, good job, Johnny. You're doing a horrible job if you have these eunuchs up there. So I said it to you. So now they did a great job. And yet you look at the ratings for the Republican convention, they dropped. All of it dropped across the board because it was boring. Bad show, bad movie. People didn't want to go to it after it opened. So I was trying to tell them that. Now what happens, it gets saved. The last night, they get Eastwood. He comes out. The guy saves them. Saves them. Then Rubio comes out. He's incredible. What a story. Great guy. Then even Romney looked like he got some life in him from what was going on. He looked great, okay? Fine. So there was only a little, you know, one cloud over it. The next morning, I wake up. There's Ann Romney on CBS basically dissing Clint Eastwood. So I'm telling you that since I know now, or since I now know that the Republicans are listening to this show, finally, they're getting that there's 8, 10 million people or more who are very upset that they won't let him come on this show. He only goes on the Stooge shows. They're listening. I said yesterday, I said, tell, if you're listening to me, tell Romney not to apologize for being a Mormon. He didn't do it, and he was supposed to. And then I said, go to the flooded area in Louisiana the day after the campaign. He's there. I said it'll make Obama look like what he is, you know, asleep at the switch. I mean, what's Obama? He's the president. What? Remember when George Bush, Katrina, they blamed him for being God. They said he caused the flood. So now you have a flood in Louisiana, and no one blames Obama because he's God, right? They listen to me. So now that I know they're listening to me, I have another piece of advice, and don't take it the wrong way. It's meant as constructive criticism. I'm speaking directly to the campaign strategist who's listening to this show. Here's what I'm telling you. Anne is a wonderful woman, a wonderful wife. She's playing too dominant a role. Tell her to take two steps back. She's too prominent. That's all. That's all I want to say. Take it for what it is. And women don't like women to begin with. That's number one. Am I wrong about that? Look, anyone who knows women tend to be a little more catty than guys are with guys. Even though guys are competitive with other guys, women, you don't know what I'm even saying unless you know a woman's mind. They're all competitive with each other. Now you take a rich woman and you got that thing to deal with. Now you take a woman who's in love with herself, that you got to deal with. Then you got a woman who thinks that she's a sorority, you got to deal with that. So, like, it's not good. It's not good. If you're trying to get the woman vote, use Clint Eastwood. Don't use Ann Romney. That's the bottom line. And I hope she is first lady. I will take her over what we have now. We know she won't abuse travel. We know that she will not use the taxpayer funds. We know she will not invite degenerate rock and rollers to the White House. So there are many reasons that I'd rather have Ann in the White House. Maybe they'll even put the bust of Winston Churchill back in. Maybe they'll take the bust of Lenin out that they must use on a rotating spindle somewhere when no one's looking. They may have a rotating bust of Stalin in the White House for Obama to channel. What do you want to talk about? 1-800-449-825. Terrible what's going on in Louisiana. I don't understand it, why the people even stay there. I know it's like their roots, but it happens all the time. I mean, if an area is like swampy and goes underwater and it happens again, I mean, you sell and you pull up and you move to Oklahoma or you move to Oakland, California, you get out of there. It's like uninhabitable. There have been other cases in history where cities and areas were no longer livable. People move. You don't try to fight Mother Nature. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand. People have roots down there. I don't know what they want to stay down there. I don't know. They want to go hunting for Bob, catfish or whatever. Billy Bob Thornton, swamp, black teeth. I don't understand it. I don't quite get that culture. I love the people because they all sound like they're from New York when I grew up. It's a weird thing about people in Louisiana. It's something I discovered when I came to San Francisco. Even I have a heavy New York brogue, right? I thought I was the only one who talked like this on the West Coast. I had Irish come up to me and say to me, you sound just like we do, who lived here all our lives in the Richmond District. This is how San Franciscans actually sound, not like guys from the Midwest who just moved out here and acting like they're wild, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's a little off the thing here. We're talking, we're having a good time. It's Friday, let's have some rock and roll. What do you want to play for me now so I can lighten? Dungaree Doll, turn that off, break that record. Eddie Fish is gone. Please, bad choice. Break the record. Give me another one. Give me another. Blueberry Hill. Okay. Slow, but okay. He's from the area. Play it. He's from Louisiana. I understand he's a fan of the show. I'm guessing. I heard.
I found my thrill.
Could you imagine if they had a guy like Fats Domino on the stage for the Republican convention? Boy, that would have been great. How about a real blues singer? That would have been terrific. Instead of the fat guy that looked like they took him out of a medical anomaly with blowtorches from his broom. Had a guy singing was like a 400-pound singer from American Idol. Was it American Idol? I never saw anything like it. He sounded like it was a falsetto, like a castrato they got from an Italian opera. From the 1500s. Singing America the Beautiful with one missing. So I don't quite understand what the Republicans were thinking, but they saved the day last night. Yeah, the country needs a change. We really need change. You know what I say? Give Mitt Romney a chance. We know what we're going to have under Obama, which is more depression, more recession, more catering, more pandering, and more misery, and more fear. Romney, I think personally, although he's not my cup of tea as a personality goes, you know, I've told you that from the beginning. I'm not the kind of guy who like goes for that type of personality. I was never into the fraternity jock as friend. He's like a fraternity jock. He's too straight for me. I'm not that kind of guy. I like guys who are a little more flexible, wild, crazy, weird. That's the kind of person I like. I like a little oddball. I don't like normal paths. Romney is a normal path, as straight and arrow as was ever made in a factory. but maybe that's what we need now after all of this warped, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we need straight. Let's try straight arrow for 4 years and see if it works. How long has it been since we had a straight arrow president? Bush, you couldn't say was a straight arrow. He had a wild childhood, didn't he? A wild boyhood. There were allegations that he, you know, sowed his wild oats in various sundry ways. But you can't say he was as straight as Romney. Romney, I guarantee you, never took a drink in his life. Ever. Ever. The guy never smoked a cigarette. Could you imagine a straight arrow like this after all these years of like warped behavior since Clinton? I mean, the last guy we had like this was like Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he was a wild guy in his own way. I was shocked years later to find that out. Dwight D. Eisenhower was like the grandfather of America when I was a kid. We looked up to him. Little did we know that he was playing with the secretary in the war. But during the war, things happen. During the war, people do these things. They get excited. The bombs are falling. They don't know. Mamie was with the piano with the daughter. So, all right, he was over there. And the secretary was over there, under there. And so, therefore, he did his thing. But, okay. The last straight president we had was Harry Truman. Wait a minute. Let's go back. Harry Truman, I know how to be straight and narrow. Haberdasher, Missouri, right? You know, he wasn't a wild guy. He was pretty good. That guy knew how to take care of business. I mean, he just said, all right, it's either a million of our guys or you're going to get the bomb. And they're one, two. You didn't know. We dropped one in Hiroshima. That wasn't enough. Have one in Nagasaki. That's how he ended the war in the Pacific. You're not supposed to say victory in the Pacific anymore. The PC crowd has eliminated World War II now. It wasn't even a war. It wasn't world. Nobody was really bad. It was a sort of disagreement between parties. This is what the PC crowd has done to the world. So, hey, there it is. Here we are. It's Friday. It's the Savage Nation. It's open mic to Mike. Let's have another piece of rock and roll because I'm not in the mood to take a call for one simple reason. I think we've...
Maybelline, why can't
you know, it's Friday. It's Labor Day weekend. What are you going to be doing this weekend? Anyone out there lightening up a bit? You could let go of the Republican convention now for about a day or two. Oh, do we have fun next week? Oh, next week we got one anti-American loud after another pretending they love the country. Turn off the music. They can't hear me in the music. I found that out a long time ago. Over the age of 12, people can't listen to music and a conversation. It's either one or the other. Their minds will grow. The kids can hear three things at once. They run on four tracks, six tracks, eight tracks, nine tracks. Then they take a pill and they have no tracks. They have a no-track mind. But the thing is in my generation, you can only like listen to one thing at a time, either music or someone talking. If the guy's playing music, then he don't play his sound and him talking. They can't hear you. I don't have an 8-track mind. I have an 18,000-track mind. It's hard enough for me to focus, let alone listen to Maybelline and talk to you at the same time. So here we are. It's Labor Day weekend, the hot dogs, the plates. Before the show, I went to Safeway. I got the bag here in the studio. I bought paper plates. I really did. You wouldn't believe it. I went and bought paper plates for the boat. I know people come on a boat. They think you're going to take them out on a boat. You're going to have like China and people serving them. I bought paper plates, plastic forks, and napkins. And I'm going to get like 8 sandwiches from Safeway. I don't know what they think I'm going to serve them on Sunday when I take them out. I'm getting 8 Safeway sandwiches. I found out Safeway sandwiches are actually better than the local gourmet market. I don't know why they come out better. You know, they're a little soggy, but they turn out to be better. I get, you know what you're going to get? Like 8 friends coming, right? I already have 2 already are on a special diet. I don't know what to get them. So I said, bring your own food because I have no idea what the lacto-ovo, schmovo-hovo. I said, look, I know you're on a very special diet. Bring your own sandwich because I don't even know how to get it. I wouldn't know what department to ask to make you a sandwich. So if you had 8 friends coming on your boat on a Sunday, what am I going to get? Like 4 turkey and 4 tuna. That's a big risk. Think about it, because everyone's going to either want all the tuna or all the turkey. So then I'll get 6 turkey and 2 tuna. Then they'll say, no, I wanted 6 tuna and 2 turkey. So that's a tricky thing to do there. I don't exactly know how to handle it. The only one I know who to how to feed right is Teddy. I know exactly what he wants. I'll bring him dog food. That'll work. No, I'm looking forward to it. The weather's going to get better. We had fog out here in the San Francisco Bay. I love this weather. The heat wave came for 2 days, then now it's cold, windy, I got to put the heat on. The fog's gone, it's supposed to be calm, I'm going to drop the anchor, we're going to then. And that's it. 3 hours on the bay, and I can't wait to go home, and that's it for Sunday. Well, thanks for making the August weeks here on the Savage Nation the best of my life. I have come through the eye of the storm. I had a hurricane in my life. I went through the eye of the storm, and Frankly, I never thought I would get through it, but I did. And I'll tell you what kept me going this August, these last 2 years, my audience. If it wasn't for my audience, I never, ever could have gotten through what I've been through. And I found out, like the old saying goes, that which does not kill you makes you stronger. That, I hope, is the truth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Pandering to the country and western crowd, I'm trying to get political. Play it again. I'll stop talking.
Electric sliding on a sawdust floor.
All right, thank you very much. I used to like Gene Autry as a little boy. So don't think just because I grew up as an inner city kid in the Bronx, I don't appreciate that country thing. I mean, I love Gene Autry. I used to play his record till I'm back in the saddle again, till I broke the machine. I'd sit alone 5 in the morning playing till I'm back. Do you have that that song? You're looking for it. It was great. I had a little wind-up phonograph my mother bought me. And I remember to this day, you know, the Remembrances of Things Past by Proust, where a certain smell brings something back? A certain feel of the pad on which you put the vinyl in those days. It was pre-vinyl. It was like a plasticky substance. I played... You have it? Let's hear Gene Autry to show you how American I really can be.
Saddle again. Wee-hee. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed.
See, I dream one day I'd live out west and there'd be jimson weed and lonesome cattle. Well, I found the jimson weed. I haven't seen any cattle around San Francisco. People don't even realize there's jimson weed growing out here. They don't understand how many poisonous plants are hanging down trees with these big yellow flowers. But being a botanist by trade, training, yeah, the West is an interesting place to be, especially if you grew up back East. It's a different way of life. People speak differently. That's because almost no one's from the West. Everyone's from the Midwest and pretends that they were born here. So here we are on the cusp of the Democrat-Communist Convention. Beginning on Tuesday, the Democrat-Communist Convention, where all of the anti-American louts suddenly wrap themselves in the flag and pretend that they love the country. I can't wait to see. Are they going to have Jerry Nadler? They have to get an oversized tent. No, he went on a... He's done a Jenny Craig. They could use a regular-sized flag on... you know, what is this about obese people ashamed of their weight all of a sudden? Look what they do to themselves. Why don't they just stay obese? I think obesity has a certain charm unto itself. At least it marks you as not being a normal guy who wants to look like Lance Armstrong. And just speaking about the news, I actually feel bad for Lance Armstrong. Would you believe it? I don't like seeing a guy that happened to him. You think he's the only one who ever doped himself in professional sports? You know, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. I think it's still for sale. In fact, it's probably at a bargain price. It needs to be retrofitted. Ask the mayor. But the thing is, you know, I'm just talking about the news. We're talking about politics. Lance Armstrong, they destroyed him. The doping thing. It's like somebody had a vendetta against him. If you think it's only because it's Lance, I don't know the man. I don't know what guy. I don't care what kind of guy he is. They've destroyed the man's life. And the reason I'm on his side in a way is because I don't think he's the only one who ever used a substance in professional sports. Incidentally, today you look at guys and you see their body mass. They're all using something, one thing or another. They're all, you know, using something or another. Vice President Biden and his rival for the job, Paul Ryan, lock horns over economic policy, taking their first shots at each other on heels of a Republican National Convention. Boring. Boring. Not good. Not good. And by the way, the Afghanistan war, there was only one man who mentioned it. It was not Ryan. None of the Republicrats did it. Only one man dared bring up the war, and that was Clint Eastwood. I thought he was very brave for doing so because the war should have been over. The minute Obama became president, remember he was the anti-war candidate? Where are all of the left-wingers who hate war? This is his war. It's his signature. It's a D-war. He's got his signature all over it. Listen to clip 5, Clint Eastwood last night at the RNC.
I know you were against the war in Iraq, and that's okay. But you thought the war in Afghanistan was okay. You know, I mean, you thought that was something that was worth doing. We didn't check with the Russians to see how they did there for the 10 years. But
You hear this? You realize how brave and great this was? Humor. He got his point across. He didn't do it in a mean way, but he was talking to the empty chair, symbolizing the empty suit in the Oval Office today, and he was saying to him, it's your war, you know? I thought it was okay, but we're still there. And all of the phony anti-war people, who are really just anti-Republican, don't say one word to the Democrats, even though men are dying every day, getting shot in the back by those vermin in the Afghani uniforms, who are supposedly our friends. Those are real lives being lost. And I'll tell you, he's the only one, Eastwood, who even hinted that we have no place in Afghanistan. It's time to bring them home yesterday. I still don't know what we're doing there. I have no idea why we are in Afghanistan. I don't know who made the policy that put us there. I don't know what we're doing there. I don't know why men are dying for Afghanistan, since they don't care about us. And they should come home. And East was the only one who said it. Obama hasn't said it because it's his war. Remember when he became president, Mr. Anti-War? He sent 30,000 new troops to Afghanistan. Remember that? And yet not one word from Romney on it. But who said it? Eastwood. So anyway, he's a great friend of America. He did a good service for this country, did it with humor, did it with grace, did it with genius, and that's it. There's a lot of things we can say. I think I've said them all. I believe that Ann Romney's a wonderful woman. I think she needs to take two steps back and let her husband shine. It is his stage. It is his time. It is his spotlight, and he does not need competition from the alpha female. Okay, there'll be plenty of time for that when they can argue over the menu in the White House. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's the great audio. I mean, today's a great day for audio on the Savage Nation. I want you to listen to the greatest speech of the whole convention, Clint Eastwood's speech. He was astounding. He brought the house down.
There's a lot of conservative people, a lot of moderate people, Republicans, Democrats in Hollywood. It's just that conservative people, by the nature of the word itself, play a little more close to the vest. And they don't go around hot dogging it. So... I remember 3.5 years ago when Mr. Obama won the election, and though I wasn't a big supporter, I was watching that night when he was having that thing, and they were talking about hope and change, and they were talking about yes, we can, and it was dark and it was outdoors and it was nice and people were lighting candles, and I just thought, this is great. I mean, everybody's crying. Oprah was crying, and I was even crying. I haven't cried that hard since I found out that there's 23 million unemployed people in this country.
This is how Clint ended it.
Of course, we all know Biden is the intellect of the Democratic Party. So just a kind of a grin with a body behind it, you know, and just kind of a thing. We own this country. Yes, we own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. It's important that you realize that you're the best in the world. And whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, you're the best. And we should not ever forget that. And when somebody does not do the job, we got to let them go.
I got to tell you, Marco Rubio's speech moved me. It was brilliant. I had no idea the guy had such a great story.
I watched my first convention in 1980 with my grandfather. As a boy, I used to sit on the porch of our house and listen to his stories about history and
politics, and baseball as he would puff on one of his three daily Padron cigars. It's been 3 decades since we last sat on that porch, and I don't remember all the things he talked to me about. But the one thing I remember is the one thing he wanted me never to forget, that the dreams he had when he was young became impossible to achieve. But there was no limit how far I could go because I was an American. For those of us who are born and raised in this country, sometimes it becomes easy to forget how special America is. But my grandfather understood how different America was from the rest of the world because he knew life outside America.
Now listen to this about sacrifices.
My dad was a bartender. My mom was a cashier, a hotel maid, a stock clerk at Kmart. They never made it big. They were never rich. And yet they were successful. Because just a few decades removed from hopelessness, they made possible for us all the things that had been impossible for them. And I remembered my father, who worked for many years as a banquet bartender. He was grateful for the work he had, but that's not the life he wanted for us. You see, he stood behind a bar in the back of the room all those years, so one day I could stand behind a podium in the front of a room.
I believe Romney is listening to my show, The Savage Nation. Listen to this and tell me I'm wrong.
Hope and change had a powerful appeal. But tonight, I'd ask a simple question. If you felt that excitement when you voted for Barack Obama, shouldn't you feel that way now that he's President Obama? You know there's something wrong with the kind of job he's done as president when the best feeling you had was the day you voted for him.
Is it any wonder that someone who attacks success has led the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression? In America, we celebrate success. We don't apologize for success.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to speak their mind. Freedom to build a life. And yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
No, he didn't shy away from Bain.
When I was 37, I helped start a small company called Bain Capital. That business we started with 10 people has now grown into a great American success story. Some of the companies we helped start are names you know and you've heard from tonight. An office company called Staples, where I'm pleased to see the Obama campaign's been shopping.
It was about time he spoke out like this.
President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans and to heal the planet. My promise is to help you and your family. Yeah! President Obama began his presidency with an apology tour. America, he said, had dictated to other nations. No, Mr. President, America has freed other nations from dictators. Yeah! President Obama has thrown allies like Israel under the bus. Even as he has relaxed sanctions on Castro's Cuba, he abandoned our friends in Poland by walking away from our missile defense commitments. But he's eager to give Russia's President Putin the flexibility he desires after the election. If I'm elected president of these United States, I will work with all my energy and soul to restore that America, to lift our eyes to a better future. That future is our destiny. That future is out there. It is waiting for us. Our children deserve it. Our nation depends on it. The peace and freedom of the world require it. And with your help, we will deliver it. Let us begin that future for America tonight. Thank you so very much. May God bless you. May God bless the American people. And may God bless the United States of America.
Unbelievable what's going on in the news. Now, who told Romney to go to New Orleans, to Louisiana for the floods? Me. Who's going there? Romney. Who's following him? Obama just announced he's shifting his schedule to catch Romney in Louisiana. They're all listening to Michael Savage. I represent the largest block of uncommitted voters in this country. Make no mistake about it. TV ratings for Republican convention drop. Big three nets plunge. Sure, when you have the eunuchs on. The last day was phenomenal. Who was the one who said to Romney, go to the hurricane? Me. So Romney's going. Now Obama's going. Yeah, right. Okay. What else is on michaelsavage.com? What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, a lot of things. You've got to go there to see yourself. I'm not going to read every story to you. But the issue is Clint Eastwood saved the day, followed by Rubio, great speech, followed by Romney. I was very impressed with Romney. And I heard from a higher up, I'm never going to mention names, that he was going to talk about his Mormonism. They advised him not to because they listened to my show yesterday where I said, stop apologizing for your religion. Don't think you're not having an effect. You are. The big story to me is how well they did. The second big story is, why is Ann Romney apologizing for Clint Eastwood's great performance? Ann, take two steps back. You're not running for the presidency. Stop it. Romney says Obama can't tell us we're better off today. California lawmakers are moving as fast as they can to give illegals driver's licenses. You heard me. 60% of black voters in Milwaukee have disappeared. They never existed. Here's good news. The Atheist Party canceled their convention due to lack of funding. No kidding. There's probably three of them in the whole country. Texas voter ID law struck down by three fascists in black robes in a federal court in Washington. America put a man on the moon, then Obama gutted NASA. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Is Obama playing for the opposing team? Michael Savage, number two in shows streamed on the web. Bhagwan Sri Obama is leading a Democrat cult, not a Democrat party. Japanese girls are getting crooked teeth to enhance their looks. They want a fang-like, childlike appearance to attract men. So they're having tooth implants to make them look like they have fangs. All right? Okay. Left-wing nut shows off cradle-snatched boyfriend. Thelma and Louise, take a look at his eyes. He looks crazier than her. Also on michaelsavage.com, see me on my high school rifle team. Why? It's one of my archival photos from my forthcoming holiday book, Train Tracks, American Stories for the Holidays. This title will be released on November 6th, 2012, but you can order it right now on Amazon.com. It's unbelievable. What a great book. You've been waiting for this. It's moving up. It's now at number 93,000. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot. By posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Times best-selling author and superstar radio personality Michael Savage is admired by millions of his tough talk and no punches pulled common sense about the state of our union as leaders. In Train Tracks, a more personal side of Savage shines through in his marvelous collection of American Stories for the Holidays. Michael Savage's poignant personal stories of home, family, and holidays will resonate with readers everywhere. I hope. Legendary conservative hardcover. Oh, it's up at number 33,894 in books already. It was 574,000 last week. It's jumped to 33,000 and all. Dr. Savage. The Gorilla Man. No, the Elephant Man is coming out very soon. I'm going to give the elephant guy money. I'm going to get you to give the elephant. Oh, did you see the story about the Gorilla Brothers on my website? Touching. Two brother gorillas were separated a number of years ago by a zoo or whatever, right? They reunited them in some asylum for gorillas. They hugged each other. They kissed each other. They remembered each other. And you don't get mad like I do when you see poachers cutting the hands off mountain gorillas. Any poacher of a mountain gorilla, a hippo, an elephant, should be executed. And it should be put on YouTube and the money raised for anti-poaching squads. Anyone caught doing that to an animal like that should be killed, and they should be put onto YouTube, and the money should be raised for the downloading of it to go for more hunter-killer squads to kill poachers. Look what's going on in this world. Look what's going on in this world with Syria. No one even knows what's going on there. We do know this. He's a monster. He's a monster. But the opposition are going to be as big a monster, if not more of a monster, than him within time. We're going to have Al-Qaeda take over Syria. We're going to have Islamists take over Syria. The Jews and Christians will be slaughtered and driven out of Syria. And you'll say, I didn't know. Hillary Clinton said it was a good thing. So, look, there's a lot of topics out there. A lot of them. Sacramento, Miranda, that's a caller I've been waiting for. Miranda, you're calling from Sacramento, and you're a oncology nurse?
Yes, I am. Good to talk to you, Dr. Savage. I am an advocate for experimental drugs, the drug neoplasine, which is used in the United Kingdom and is curing cancer in humans, should be used here for people that have debilitating diagnosis. And
I have a question for you as an oncology nurse. Miranda, have you ever heard of Bromley's mixture?
I have not, but I'm thinking that it's similar to the neoplasine, which is made in Montana but shipped to Europe.
No. Bromley's mixture is not an anti-cancer drug. It's a cocktail of cocaine, heroin, and I forget which other painkiller. It was used in England 30 years ago, and it allegedly, or let's say was said to, completely suppress the pain of the most aggressive cancer. But in America, they would not use it for puritanical reasons or God knows for what other reasons.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely would be an advocate for that. I think anything that can ease the pain because cancer...
Absolutely. God bless you. I don't know how a person can do this for a living day in and day out. I had an uncle, one of my favorite uncles, never thought he'd get cancer, but, okay? He was athletic. He was a vegetarian, for God's sakes. The only one in the family was a vegetarian. And I was shocked years later to see pictures of him in the 1920s. He used to run in New York marathons. I was shocked. I had no idea that he ran a marathon. So the number and good in shape. Like today, they'd say the guy was like really, he was great vegetarian, gets cancer, suffering, dying, Long Island Jewish Hospital. My aunt, my Russian aunt, goes there and she screams at the intern, yells at the doctor, what good are you? You can't cure and you can't kill. I mean, you talk about the kind of family I came from. She knew what was going on. They couldn't cure him and they couldn't kill him. She knew what was going on. Oh, did he suffer? It was so horrible. Horrible, horrible. What kind of medical establishment is this that lets a person suffer like that? So don't think I'm like rigid on this issue here. I have a friend, I'm not going to say who. He's in perfect health, this and that, but he's good shape. He said to me if ever he gets debilitated or he gets a diagnosis like this, he has a pill that'll kill him in seconds that he got years ago from somebody. I don't know from who. He has it in the apartment. I guess it's cyanide, which is almost instantaneous. That's what Hitler, they used in the bunker. A snapperoo on the tooth and you're gone in seconds. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. You're dead. You're brain dead in seconds. You know what I mean? I know this is a horrendous topic. Horrible. Horrible topic. Am I too negative? Would you rather I just be how to win friends and influence people? Why, be gosh, you vote for them Republicans and I say we go back to that free market. If only we had that free market, by gosh, I would say the Republican way is the best way. Why, if every poor person got down there and put on a clean shirt and started a business, and I wouldn't care if it was a lemonade stand, just start from that bottom and, work your way up. That's the way to do it. Oh, yeah, malarkey, malarkey, malarkey. Yeah, I'm not ready for Fox News, if you don't mind. I feel too good. I actually have so cured myself with vitamins and high doses of garlic and onions, and nothing bothers me, so I can't do a good show. There's nothing agitating me. I feel too calm. I may have to quit radio if I continue to feel this good. I may simply have to retire and become a normal man. I better call my family and tell them to get me a ticket to the ship. I'm starting to realize I may be coming normal again from detoxing to such an extent that there's nothing agitating me. Isn't that something? That's a weird feeling. It's like the Buddy Hackett joke. You know that great joke from the 50s, which I've told too many times. I'll tell it again in case you haven't heard it. The guy goes in the army. They take him to Fort Dix. They put him on the military food. After a week, he says he went into the infirmary. The doctor said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I must be sick." He said, "Why?" He said, "Every time I eat the food," he said, "I don't have indigestion. There must be something wrong with me." In other words, it was the first time in his life. It was the first time in his life that he didn't have indigestion, so he thought something was wrong with him. He thought it was the norm to eat his mother's food and then start belching and gagging, you know, feeling bloated, opening his pants, sitting on the couch, gagging. He thought that was the normal response to a meal. So the guy goes in the army. They give him a lean, you know, American meal, and the guy doesn't have any such indigestions. He thinks there's something wrong with it. It's very funny. But you have to be, you know, from a certain milieu to think that's clever and fun. To me, it's funny. To this day. Let's move on. Next case. You think I'm going to get worked up now over who wins? Oh, God. How many books and stories and shows do I have to do here till you finally get it? Hey, I don't care if you're a lifetime Democrat. I really don't care, but you got to understand Obama's not a Democrat. He is bad for you as a Democrat. The man is a naked communist. You're not going to do well. I don't care what angle you're in. This guy is a disaster for you. And anybody in business should know that. I don't care if your business is legitimate or illegitimate. This guy is anti-business. And so that's my opinion. And I don't understand how America hasn't awakened to this. I don't understand. Oh, here we go. Romney is a genius. I am absolutely brain dead from this presidential race. I'm brain dead because I see a communist in the White House getting away with virtual murder on a daily basis. He's killing people with drones, but because the drones have a D on them, it's not murder. He's destroying the economy, the American way, and because of the viruses in the media, he gets away with it. And then on the other side, we have the I don't know how to put it. They're nice white guys. They're rigid. They're stiff. They can't really dance. You know, it's that kind of thing. They got no movement. Not saying a word that we really need to hear about the fundamental attack upon our core principles and values. So I'm asleep. I'm going to sleep. Today in the mail, for example, listen to the Savage Nation. Listening to the Savage Nation is what you are doing. Every day I get proposals for people to come on the show, books, and, you know, I normally ignore them. Sometimes I get angry and send back a reply like this. I said, "I don't publicize the views of communists." It came to me from some unknown publisher, and it said, "Dear Michael, many say that this presidential election is a battle for the soul of America. Or more precisely, it's a fight to define the true American national identity. For decades, the American right wing has mostly controlled this conversation on national identity, known more popularly as American values. This is changing." This is from a publisher now. "The election of Obama started it, and his re-election will cement it. That the left, led by Barack Obama, defines America's true national identity." So says Dr. Ian Shmekovitz, the author of a new book. I won't read the book. That's not his real name. It's not Dr. Ian Shmekovitz. But it's one of the New York commies that run around the universities there. So the guy goes on, "I'd like to pitch Dr. Shmekovitz for a segment on the Michael Savage Show. See three-point debate below. I think this would make a hard-hitting discussion debate, because while so many on the right loudly stake ownership of the American values issue by attacking Obama, painting him as the other or unpatriotic or elitist, even foreign-born, Dr. Shmekovitz says that Barack Obama's presidency and Barack Obama himself embodies America's true values." I'm not making it up one word. Let me read it on. "This is a debate that goes deeper than displaying a flag pin or singing loudly during the national anthem. It's about what it truly means to live up to the American ideal." Then they go on telling me why we should have Dr. Ian Shmekovitz on and whether I want to receive his book. Then the press releases for immediate release. "Who really represents American values? Controversial study claims Obama embodies true national identity." I'm not making up a word. "The 2012 presidential election has been described by thinkers on both sides of the aisle as a battle for the soul of America. Nowhere is this battle more evident than in the constant salvos fired from both camps attempting to define what true American values are. Is Obama the contrast to or the best example of American values? Dr. Shmekovitz, author of the book, says that Obama embodies true American values, and his presidency and re-election is the sign that America is actually waking up to that fact. In an interview, Dr. Shmekovitz debates three important markers that show that this is true. And then they, one, is the American identity defined by involuntary ethnic racial terms or by voluntary civic terms? I have no idea what that means, incidentally. So I can't even remember. Oh, here it is. It's bashing whites. Historically, the powers that controlled America defined a national identity that is too heavily focused on a white male elite culture. Even today, this is conventional wisdom. Obama's election and presidency mark a better American ideal that we should aspire to. Well, you also want to add that the white male elite culture is the culture that defeated Hitler. And without them, what would you be? You'd have a ring in your nose. And what would you be doing, idiot? Then it goes on, Obama is the correct president for the future because Obama embodies fairness and a government built to help the weakest in society. Wow. The weakest in society. You mean like Corzine? You mean like, let's see, the other weak ones, those who are friends of Pelosi or the friends of Reid? Are those the weakest in our society? Those with the fake solar companies, though the weakest in society? Is the American identity based on narrow cultural assimilation or multiculturalism? Now, here, this, you're not going to believe this, but I swear this idiot wrote this. The right wing continues to define America by goading its immigrant population into assimilating, which is really forcing it into a culture that is white, male, and elite, while Obama embodies multiculturalism, where diversity in gender and ethnicity is empowered. Wow. So in other words, the days of assimilation are over. Now people who run from the third world, the garbage countries that they run away from because the life is impossible for them there, are telling us we should now adopt the mores of the countries they ran away from? Yes, according to Dr. Ian Shmekovich, that is true. Dr. Ian Shmekovich is a professor of history, and I won't read the college, but it belongs to the State University of New York. That, of course, is where Governor Cuomo reigns supreme. So they conclude by saying, is Obama's America the true America? What are true American values? And then they have, you know, a question of whether I want to book them on the show. And I answer them simply, I don't publicize the views of communists. There's nothing here for you to call me about, nothing whatsoever. I just tell you, I cannot believe the overt communism that I'm seeing coming into my office. I just cannot believe this. It's astounding. I think that the Twitter generation is so stupid that they don't even understand that their very freedoms are at stake and that we have the first communist president in American history. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not practicing overt, full-blown Soviet-era communism. No, sir. He's practicing the type of progressive socialism that I described in my best-selling books, Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. But you can also bank the following, that if this shyster is reelected with his gang, we will have full-blown Marxism in this nation within the first 3 years. And that leads us to the callers. Because you can tell a candidate or a president by who he surrounds himself with. So I'd like to take some callers on those of you who know who Axelrod is. Axelrod is Obama's brain. Does anyone out there know who Axelrod actually is and why he gets away with it? Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou waste not that wast not spoiled. And woe to you that dealest treacherously, and thou dealt not treacherously with thee. What does that mean? I can't even read the Bible today. I think I'm getting dyslexic from it all. As locusts leap, do they leap upon it? I don't even want to read the Bible today. You ever reach that point where nothing makes sense to you? And Moses went and spoke. Nothing works for me anymore. Nothing. The Bible, I can't read it. A drink doesn't do me any good. I'm overeating. It doesn't even taste any good. I ate two lunches today. I feel sick from them. Two Chinese lunches. I didn't want either of them. Would you believe this? Why would I eat two lunches today? It's from looking at this garbage day in and day out. I feel like the servant of the fool. I can't believe it. I look at articles. Did you see the article that Eric Holder is hiring schizophrenics and intellectually disabled people? He's putting them at the top of the list at the Justice Department. That was the last straw for me. Let's see. I have to find this one here. Department of Justice, under the superb Eric Holder, is recruiting schizophrenics and intellectually disabled. And if you think I'm making this up, we found PJ Tatler, PJ Media, has actually obtained documents from the so-called Justice Department detailing their efforts to recruit attorneys and staff who are dwarfs or who have psychiatric disabilities or severe intellectual disabilities. I can't believe this. Why in the world would you not be excited about this? How could you not understand that we're living in a post-communist revolution where we have the most incompetent, corrupt, I have to use the word in a proper way, deviant, and I don't mean that in a sense of sexual deviancy. They are psychiatrically deviant. We have a psychiatrically deviant administration where they would put people like this at the top of a hiring list. But they've already done so. Take a look at the people they surround themselves with. Let us begin with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Do you think this woman is all there? Even Obama, who's intelligent, understands that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is somehow mentally off. So Eric Holder's Justice Department is recruiting dwarfs, schizophrenics, and the intellectually disabled. We're not making this up. We found the hiring form. It's from PJ Media. It's on michaelsavage.com. And these people with such targeted disabilities may be hired through a non-competitive appointment. In other words, they're disabled, right? Now, why would this creep in the Civil Rights Division be doing this? Do you think he's stupid? Now, Attorney General Tom Perez is one of the most fanatic leftists in the United States of America today. So why would he affirmatively be recruiting so-called intellectual dwarfs and schizophrenics into the Justice Department without any competition? You think he's stupid? No, he's far more dangerous than you may understand. Why are they recruiting lawyers in that department? Because they're afraid that the Republicans are going to win. And if the Republicans win, you will not be able to fire these lawyers. Once a person is hired under the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act, which is one of the most horrendous acts ever passed, it is so rife with fraud that it's almost impossible to describe, you'll never fire any one of these hires. Since they are going to be hired as disabled, they're entitled to all of the robust protections of this law, the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act. Ask anyone who owns a business what this has done to them. So that means the employer has to be reasonably accommodating, whatever the employee wants. And if you should even dismiss one or discipline one, you'll be taken to court in a moment for discriminating against them because they're a disabled person. So you see, if the Republicans should win, God willing, in November, and they try to get rid of these far-left fanatics in November, they will not be able to get rid of them. And that's why this character, who I just mentioned, who you never heard of, who was put there by Obama, another one of his left-wing fanatics, Assistant Attorney General Tom Perez, is hiring those with psychiatric disabilities. He's trying to plant fanatic leftists into the Justice Department that you cannot get rid of, even with a Republican administration. Do you understand how devious these people are? Do you understand how deadly they are? Do you understand the job that we have to do? I try every day to help you on this. It's not easy to do. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Francisco is now enmeshed in one of the greatest scandals in the 21st century. The subway to nowhere, the central subway. Billions and billions of dollars for no reason whatsoever. It's one of the most phenomenal stories of our time. And yet CNN is covering Republicans who went skinny dipping in the Sea of Galilee who were spied upon by the U.S. FBI. What has happened to the FBI? Has it become an arm of the Justice Department, strictly super surveying Republicans now? Should they add Republicans to the list of potential terrorists, along with returning war veterans and those who oppose abortion and big government? Should everyone in the Republican Party now be investigated by the FBI and the DHS? Is that the country you want to live in under this criminal gang? You have no idea what's going on around you.
This man has turned it into a petty dictatorship. And God forbid Obama wins again, you're going to have a full-blown South American tyranny in this country, as sure as I'm sitting here. It's not just one guy versus the other. It's not just one style versus another. It's disaster versus survival. Period. I only wish Romney would say it. Choose me or lose the country. Make it clear, Mitt, that it's a gang, an illegitimate gang that's destroying the country. And point out, 1 through 5, what Obama has done and is doing. You'll win overnight. Your polls will go 20 points up. But you see, no one talks to old Mitt. Mitt is surrounded by yes men and yes women. And in fact, his chief advisor voted for Obama in 2000 to this story here. The suicide story. What would you do is the question. If, God forbid, you had a cancer diagnosis, and I'm talking terminal. Many people with cancer are surviving today, which is beautiful. And they're surviving well. I mean, I know some people myself, 2-3 people, I'm shocked. It was not when I was a kid. It was a death sentence as a kid, when I was a kid. You got cancer, they whispered about it like divorce. Do you know that? It's crazy. When I was a kid, people whispered they were getting a divorce. They go, she got a divorce. They were divorced. That's how they talked about it. Oh, yes, they have cancer. I mean, they whispered about these things. Not anymore. Not anymore. But why? Why did he kill himself? Was it the drugs that he was on that messed up his brain? Something's wrong. Well, anyway, I'll take your calls. I will take your calls here on the Savage Nation. Let's begin on the West Coast, move ourselves to the East. Now, change it around. Let's begin on WOR New York and then move west. How's that? Steve in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Society is getting so sick and so degenerate now that in the media, we glorify people who take their own lives, and we treat it as and teach our children that it's somehow an acceptable option. What a message to send, and it ignores the devastation.
Well, wait, I don't know. Wait, who says it's an acceptable option?
Point. It all goes with that same progressive liberal point of view.
That's right. They're anti-life. That's why they kill the unborn, and that's why they glorify the mass murderer. This is something I'll never understand about the so-called liberal who has a halo around his own head. They will keep a man on death row for 40 years, a mass murderer, the most horrible person. But they have no qualms about killing the unborn. How does that work?
Well, Mike, they even teach our children in the media, in the movies, and on, you know, and whatever show, that if life is getting too hard, well, hey, you have options, and that may include taking your own life. How sick,
well, but
Mike?
Again, this comes from the liberal progressive ethos, if you wish to call it that. As you well know, in Northern Europe, they are now permitting people as young as 14 years of age to commit suicide, or they are giving them the option of euthanasia. If they're depressed or unhappy, yes, it's reported. Children as young as 14 have been approved for euthanasia in progressive Finland, I believe. Or was it progressive Denmark? And so progressivism is the death of humanity. We understand that. But let's go back to the nuts and bolts. God forbid you had a diagnosis like that. What would you do?
Mike, I would savor and live every day like it was my last day, and I would not deny my loved ones a second of my time by destroying them by taking my own life prematurely.
All right, well, that's your position. What if you're in pain? I believe if a person has a killing cancer like this, they should be given any drug, legal or illegal, in a hospital setting to allay their pain. And there are drugs that will kill any pain, by the way.
Savage.